think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Russia invades Ukraine, February 2022. Ukraine invades Russia, August 2024. I read the headlines from Europe. This is scary, but Europe is reacting. Bloomberg, Putin cuts off governor who admitted Ukraine advancing in Russia. Two, Russian gas jitters engulf Europe's fear-driven market. Three, Russia occupied nuclear power plant, that's Zaporizhia in Ukraine, ruled safe after fire. And then we turn to the Telegraph out of London. Ukrainian troops hold 1,000 square kilometers of Russia. That's enough. Bill Raggio, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, joins me as my colleague and co-host, and we're very pleased to welcome Foundation for Defense of Democracy, John Hardy, watching the Ukraine conflict, which suddenly turned three-dimensional. Heretofore, it had been the frozen, staticky front line, the Russians push a few kilometers, then they're pushed back, or both sides run out of firepower for the moment, or Russians revert to the old artillery shells and throw a couple of missiles into the city. Ukraine digs in and looks for manpower. That was then. This is now. John, a very good evening to you. I want to go to the beginning of this because it was difficult to identify when it started. We now have, as the Telegraph says, 1,000 square kilometers occupied in some fashion by Ukrainian invaders. What was your first instance that this was more than a probe, that this was a full-scale operation? Good evening to you, John.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me back. Well, it began on the morning of October 6th, and we knew it was more than the previous small-scale raids that Ukraine has launched across the border, which involved various units subordinate to military intelligence. Whereas in this case, pretty quickly we saw U.S.-provided strikers, German-provided martyr infantry fighting vehicles, and other mechanized vehicles and armor. So we knew it was a larger operation and involved regular units. And as you say, Ukraine has captured quite a bit of territory. I'm not sure it's 1,000 square kilometers, but it is significant.
So it was Monday. What is that? That's Tuesday the 6th. And what were you seeing that told you that it was a large-scale operation, 1,000 square kilometers? Oh, say it's 800. It's enough for me. Did they show themselves having the equipment, or was it fog of war? We couldn't tell from this side.
Right. So officials in Kyiv have been pretty tight-lipped about the operation. I think they started to relax that a bit. So you've had some Ukrainian units starting to post footage, or Ukrainian officials starting to speak about the operation, mainly off the record or on background. So initially it was mostly footage from released by the Russian military, Ministry of Defense, or by Telegram channels that received footage from Russian units. That was the way we were initially able to geolocate where Ukrainians are, you know, tell what type of equipment they're using is by using that Russian release footage. It's always tough to gauge what's happening early on in these operations. And I think in this case, especially tough given the kind of the paucity of Ukrainian release footage. But as I say, we're starting to get a better picture now of what's going on, although there is a bit of a lagging kind of lagging frame of view on battlefield developments.
Bill, you have a question for John.
Yes, John. Hello. And do we know the size of the Ukrainian force that was used in this attack in Kursk? And are the Ukrainians continuing to reinforce this effort?
Right. So I think it's thousands of troops, exactly how many, I'm not sure, but elements from, I think, maybe at least half a dozen different brigades and some other units kind of tacked on. So, and these include some fairly high quality units like 80th and 82nd Air Assault. You've had 22nd Mech, 61st Mech. I'm leaving some out there. Some of the more high quality drone units as well. So it is a significant commitment of force for Ukraine, especially given their limitations in force availability. They really had to scrape the bottom of the barrel to get to get these forces for the operation. And they did take a gamble by devoting them to the Kursk offensive rather than using them to reinforce defensive lines in the east, where they're struggling to hold back a slow but steady Russian advances.
John, you have links to a lot of video footage, so you've seen the terrain. Is it flat? Is it rolling hills? What's it look like?
So part of the operation is focused on the town of Suzhou, which is just a few kilometers past the border. Basically, the Ukrainians blocked that and went north, and then simultaneously had another push kind of due north from the border. So it's a lot of forested terrain. Like elsewhere in the region, lots of tree lines. I think in this case, you have some even bigger forests. So provides good concealment for attacking troops. They've tried to use their mobility to push rapidly into Russia, taking advantage of surprise. The Russians clearly did not see the operation coming. The forces they left to guard the border, pretty lightly manned defenses, mostly protected by conscript units, border guards, and other kind of lower quality forces. So they were unprepared and caught off guard. And that's shown with a lot of Russian POWs captured, probably in the hundreds at this point, based on the footage I've seen. And basically, the Ukrainians were able to quickly overrun or bypass Russian defenses positions near the border.
Bill, you have a question.
Yes, John, what are the Ukrainians' objectives, or what do you think the Ukrainians' objectives are? I don't think they've been announced. And do you think those objectives are achievable?
So I think one objective is to make Russia divert forces from other areas. So you can kind of draw a parallel to Russia's May 2024 offensive near the city of Kharkiv, which was launched for a similar goal. So to basically tie up Ukrainian forces so that Russia could have a better shot in the east. And I think that the operation was at least partially successful in that sense. I think that there's a similar objective here. Ukraine probably wants to relieve pressure in the east, or maybe absorb from some Russian forces that are in the area near Kharkiv, and to enable Ukraine to either defend more easily, or perhaps even in the case of Kharkiv, to take back some territory there. Another objective could be to hold captured Russian territory for at least temporarily to increase negotiation leverage if there ever are peace talks. And I think Ukraine also wanted to kind of re-energize Ukrainian morale and by extension, Western confidence and support in Ukraine. If you think about the previous successful offensives Ukraine has launched, those really sparked or energized Western enthusiasm for supporting Ukraine, whereas the failed 2023 counteroffensive kind of did the opposite. So I think, especially as we go into the U.S. elections, I think Ukraine kind of wanted to shift the narrative and shift the war's momentum back in its favor.
With respect to the diverting forces, have you seen any evidence of the Russians diverting from either the east or from the Kharkiv operation?
They have brought some from the Kharkiv area. The thing is, Ukraine has also. So 82nd Air Assault Brigade, for example, they had elements near Kharkiv, and those have apparently, at least some of them, have come to Kursk. So we're just starting to see Russia in the last few days moving forces in significant numbers. And so we don't have a great picture on where they're coming from, but I think so far it seems they're not pulling from the axes he's trying to push toward the city of Pokrovsk and the city of Toretsk. These are the two main lines of effort in Donetsk Oblast. So far, it seems they're able to continue that while still flowing forces from elsewhere to Kursk.
We're speaking with John Hardy. He is Foundation for Defense of Democracy, watching the Ukraine-Russia conflict in Ukraine, now watching the Ukraine-Russia conflict in Russia. Bill Raggio, Foundation for Defense of Democracy. You can find John's reporting on the Long War Journal in addition to the FTD site. It is said by military personnel for about several hundred years, tactics are for amateurs, logistics are for professionals. When we come back, does Ukraine have the logistics to sustain this? Are they overrunning Russian equipment and using it? How long can that last? It has worked for other armies sometimes, but Russia has air. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.